Hello and welcome in to the latest edition of the Rebel Room. I am Taylor Byrne alongside Case Kiefer and Ray Brewer. And before we really get into the actual mechanizations of the game, of the cannon being painted red, I'm just going to clear the floor. Ray Brewer, you called a UNLV runaway victory. It didn't quite turn out that way, largely because of Blake Decker's injury. But the cannon is red. You said... I was with you in the offseason that they beat Reno, but then I cowered away. I didn't officially pick it. You stuck with it. You backed your guns, and boom, you get to celebrate here. Ray, take the floor. What do you want to say?
Well, it takes a brave man to like an underdog like I do. You know, I'm a Pirate fan in baseball, and they had some major losing seasons, 20 in a row. And no, I just with UNLV football, I really am I'm a big believer in Tony Sanchez. I know when he got hired, some people said, oh, my gosh, this guy's a high school coach. And then slowly but surely you saw what he was doing in the offseason. He won the offseason. But then we were like, oh, my God, they got to play games. They're going to get beat up. He's going to get out coached. And we've really not seen too many signs of that. And I think it just it hit a peak. Against Reno, it was a game he had them mentally and motivated to play. He inspired them. You saw on the sidelines when Reno was rallying, where Reno had the momentum, where the crowd was into the game and UNLV was dead. You saw Sanchez walking up and down the sidelines, inspiring the players to finish. And it wasn't just words. They actually believed him because this team has bought into what he is saying. And you know, I thank you for giving me credit for once. It feels really good to have you acknowledge my knowledge, my smarts, my ability to look deeper besides the numbers that Case has. It's all a good feeling.
Case, Sanchez is 4-1 against the spread, off to a very profitable Vegas start. Were you able to watch the game on Saturday?
Not really. I was following.
Is it because
along
it's not on
Twitter
TV
and stuff? Well, yeah, it was not on TV, and there's just so many games going on that if it was on TV, I definitely would have put it in the rotation. But I'm streaming like three other games on Watch ESPN, and it wasn't on Watch ESPN either. Or I would have given it a little spot too. But I was following along, and yeah, I give Ray credit too. It was a great call and a great win, and nothing I can take away from what Tony Sanchez has done so far. I'm very impressed.
So I mostly want to have Ray just make crazy predictions for the rest of the season. But first, let's just talk about the game itself. UNLV came out, scored a touchdown on its opening drive, was just running all over the Reno defense. There was nothing that they could do. The offensive line trending the right way, opening up all kinds of holes. The only thing UNLV didn't do well was score early on there. They were dominant, but there was an interception in the red zone and another drive just kind of stalled. So they were getting a bunch of yardage, controlling the game. The defense had Reno backed up because of Logan Yunker's punts and was doing great, but you know, UNLV just wasn't getting the distance on the scoreboard. And credit to Kurt Palandek for coming in and getting that touchdown right before halftime when Blake Decker got injured. It was a separated left shoulder, his non-throwing shoulder, when he just was diving on a, I think, no gain on the play, wasn't even really hit much. Maybe a defensive lineman came down on him, and I'm sure that was part of it. But it was mostly, not some big contact thing, and he was out for the remainder of the game, watched from the sidelines in a sling. And the offense just went nowhere. After that, Palandek came in and right away was able to score. But then in the second half, UNLV was averaging 2.4 yards per carry with Palandek in the game, and it had been 4.9 with Decker. So just a huge drop-off there, and there was no passing game to speak of. And so the Wolfpack kind of slowly but surely start to come back. And if not for Ryan McElhinney's huge 52-yard interception return for a touchdown, I don't think UNLV wins this game. But they did get that play. You know, it's a momentum changer, and Reno was still able to score to make it close, to make it go down to the end. And the UNLV defense, once again, kind of like they did 2 years ago, got a stop when they needed it at the end. So this was one that, wasn't fluky. They weren't lucky. UNLV dominated and then had to hold on to win, and they made the plays to do it. They deserve credit for going up there and winning. How good of a team did they beat? We don't really know. Ray, you and I think Case is probably mostly with us on this, that we don't think Polian is much of a coach, and this team just not all that good. But in a Mountain West division that isn't any good, period, then you know they still might have something to say with the conference race. But right now, 1-0, UNLV got 7 games to play, all league games. Ray, where do you want to go with this? This is the day to just open the floor to Brewer and let him take us somewhere. What is going to happen now the rest of the way? It's San Jose State Saturday, 6 p.m., actually the same opponent that UNLV faced 2 years ago after winning the Cannon. They lost by 10 in that game. This one, I'm not sure if an official line has been posted yet.
I saw 2 today on ESPN.
No, it's just about everywhere now, and it's San Jose State 3.
Okay, so that's actually like right what we had guessed. I think my guess was 2.5. And so even with Palandek in as the starter, and that's what Sanchez said yesterday. Now, after the Michigan week, I'm taking everything with a grain of salt. They're saying that Decker is going to dress and be available only in an emergency situation. I'm not willing to say yet that I completely believe that.
He had the sling on yesterday at the Cannon painting. Was that just for show?
I don't think so, but I'm not putting it past him right now. Okay, I am just admitting what I don't know. But bigger picture, Ray, 7 games. What is UNLV's season going to be?
Well, I actually am convinced that they're going to become bowl eligible. They need to win 4 to get bowl eligible. You laughed when I said they'd be arena.
No,
so
no,
laugh, have a chuckle. No, this is not a comedy club.
Convinced is just strong.
I know.
Convinced is just strong.
Because I am convinced. Listen, this is crazy. Well, first of all, I've been anti-San Jose State in the Rebel Room, in the newsroom, and on the street corner.
They're better than you think.
I know. That's the scary thing. I was going to say that. Yeah. They have a really good tailback whose name I can't remember.
Tyler Irvin.
And they gave Auburn a fight last week. Now, I do think they
might.
Auburn. Imagine Auburn in the Mountain West.
So. I know.
I understand that nationally, funny. Auburn is not what they were supposed to be.
Now, since Brewer has pat himself on the back so much, my number one pick in our picks before the season was Auburn under 8.5 wins. So I'm going to pat myself on the back here, and something that has nothing to do with the Rebel Room.
There you go.
But still, they had to travel to Alabama, San Jose State, and now they're coming into Vegas. UNLV's got momentum from the Cannon game. Hopefully, not a hangover. This might be crazy, and tell me if I'm crazy, but if they beat San Jose State, they're 2-0 in the West. Do they have a chance to win the West and play in the Mountain West Championship game? Totally crazy. But tell me who on the schedule they're going to be like a double-digit dog against. Okay, obviously Boise.
Yeah, there's only the one.
But Boise's not even in their league. They could lose that game and still win the portion of the league. Who on that schedule beats them and beats them convincingly? Where are the landmines at?
I think that you could turn around and say the same thing as who do they beat convincingly. Like, I agree. I'm really I think you have to be really happy with where this program is. But you have a whole slate of games that look like they're going to be close because the teams are all kind of bad. And even though UNLV has all this momentum, they're fired up as they should be. They won the Cannon. Still, in as high as you are, we were still in here 4 weeks ago, and even you looked at the depth chart and were like, wow, this is ugly.
But they just won a game on the road against adversity with these guys that even yesterday in the newsroom, I saw a picture, and I was like, can you believe this guy plays college football?
Exactly, and now we're picking them to win the division?
But they're winning, though. They're winning. They're confident. This is a different team. Like I said, I've seen Tony Sanchez. He is a way to organize and to get his guys in the position to succeed. And
can I quickly counter your their winning statement?
Yes, sir.
And the two games are Idaho State and a Reno team that you don't think is any good.
Totally get that. And that's why I said if they get past San Jose State Saturday, then who else in that? Fresno's awful. Awful. San Jose State, Pumphrey's banged up, right?
Yep.
I would say there's no way you can convince me they're winning at Colorado State right now.
They're in the Mountain.
Oh, well, and I thought the question was
on the schedule.
Well,
he's focusing more on the West
teams. On the division. Well, I think you said where on the schedule. There's two games I just do not see them winning, and that's Colorado State and Boise. And I really, I'm really happy with what UNLV's done. I think you have to be. I'm not trying to take anything away from, but I just look at a lot of these other games as pretty close to a coin flip, and I think that it's hard to just now say because they won these two games, well, they're going to win all five of them, or I don't know if I did my math right, but they're going to go 5-0.
If they beat San Jose State, they're going to be 3-3. They'll beat Fresno. They'll have a winning record at 4-3.
Which is exactly what you predicted preseason, which is why you're sticking with it. I don't know why I high-fived you. I should never give you the high five.
I'm crazy. Y'all know that. I've been wrong 1,000 times. But the Mountain West is just bad.
Well, and this is what I tried to write in my column for Monday. Go read it on LasVegasSun.com. But it's basically, yes, they have a lot more winnable games than I certainly, and I think a lot of people originally anticipated, but going from that to actually winning is a whole different thing, and especially if you're starting Kurt Palandek on Saturday, UNLV's not winning that game. So you're going to lose San Jose State, who I think currently, I mean, look around the West. I think San Jose State's the team to beat right now, and it's mostly based on Tyler Irvin and a defense that, I don't know, I mostly just think that their offense is good enough to make up for it. But as you said, San Diego State, I think is still going to be a factor. But Pumphrey, out indefinitely, not sure how long he's going to be sidelined with the high ankle sprain. We saw what Reno was, and it was mostly awful. Hawaii has yet to score a point on the mainland, and Fresno State is awful. So that's where I look at San Jose State, a team I think is average, a team I think is better than what I thought in the preseason. Same thing as UNLV. But I can point to it more as being a consistent thing. And for them, it's about offense. For UNLV, it's about defense. This defense is much better than I ever thought it was going to be. And that's what gives them a chance. And I even wrote, you know, the crazy, ridiculous things that you said in the preseason, which credit to you. You've been saying bowl is not out of the question the entire time. But those things are – I wrote that they're met with you know, more of a pondering, yeah, probably not, less a laugh out loud, although when you said it today, Case and I both kind of laughed out loud.
Here's the deal.
But that was about the certainty.
Here's the deal. The Mountain West, when you guys, you were here briefly, but I think you're still Taylor Byrne college student or Taylor Byrne before you came to Las Vegas, right? The Mountain West was a really good league. You had BYU, Utah, TCU, Air Force was good. There's no easy wins, and when you go on the road, UNLV was just UNLV. Now the Mountain West is like UNLV. It's the league is balanced out to where it should be, a non-Big Five league with teams that struggle to put a good product on the field, with the exception of Boise. And now UNLV fits right in.
It has been a huge drop-off. I think, what was that, either 2009 or 2010, one of the first 2 years I was here. Like, the Mountain West was just beating up on the Pac-12. Like, they had like 15 games, and they're something like 1-10 of 15. Yeah. And it is just a huge drop off. So, I mean, the best thing I can say is that if you said this stuff preseason and we called you crazy, now you're saying this stuff and I don't think you're crazy. I mean, you can believe it. I'm just not necessarily ready to jump in and say this team's going to win the division.
And how do I live in regret every day that I didn't bet that 2.5 over?
You didn't. What is wrong with you? You.
I just talked to myself
about backing up the bank truck, and this was the biggest slam dunk ever.
I was going to put a grand.
You're never going to get an opportunity to bet on Tony Sanchez like that again.
I know.
You know that, right?
I'm.
So where does this rank in the biggest?
The worst part is I had. I was like, okay, today's the day. I've got the money. I'm going to the bank. I'm going to take the money out. I'm going to Golden Nugget.
Did you go lose it on Pie Gal?
No, I didn't. I didn't go. The money, I'll tell you what I did with the money later offline. I don't want people to know my private life. But
what eats at you more, not betting the over 2.5, which we must say he hasn't hit it yet, but he's got 7 chances and it looks, you know, looks certainly like the right side. So not betting that, or not betting Florida State to win the national championship?
The Florida State thing hurts me a little bit.
35-1.
I actually went to do that, and I just didn't quite make it into the book. I got tripped up on the way there. So, but shout out to UNLV. You were down on the field after the game. I when you look at this game against San Jose State, there's a few red flags for me. Obviously, the uncertainty at quarterback for UNLV. to the tailback from San Jose State. I watched them run all over Fresno. For whatever it's worth, I think UNLV is going to run over Fresno as well. And then the thing that stands out for me is just the Fremont Cannon hangover. You know, I think the coaching staff at UNLV is going to have their hands full this week getting the team ready to close the book on A and get ready for B, especially because, you know, Sunday's kind of the day they get there, they look at the new week, they forget about the past game, they start breaking down a new opponent, they see who's going to be healthy, and then Monday we go and we have a big celebration where we walk the cannon from point A to point B and we paint it and we tell everybody how good we are again. And, you know, and then they're off on Monday, so they come back on Tuesday, and now all of a sudden we're that much closer to game day.
You know, I get your point, and I know they obviously want to keep momentum. I'll be interested to see what the crowd is, because Sanchez kind of called out fans. Actually, literally, he said, I'm calling out everybody, because he, you know, is just trying to rally support, trying to get people out to Sam Boyd Stadium. It'll be interesting to see what the crowd is. I'm not expecting anything amazing, because I think I've seen enough here that it, you know, it's going to take more than just one cannon win to get, you know, a big crowd out there, but we'll see. But if they lose this game, I still feel probably about as good for their overall league chances in the rest of the season as I do sitting here today. I just don't think they're going to win this game, especially if Palandek plays. And as long as it's close, you know, if they get blown out by like 20 or something, then maybe it's a little different. But as long as it's like a close game, you see some of the positives, and I think it's okay. All right, move past that one. You got Fresno the next week.
They're not playing for moral victories.
Okay, but they're not going to win every game either, and this is one I don't think they're going to win.
I don't dispute that they're not going to win. Like I said, I just think that if Decker's healthy and playing, and if San Jose State doesn't have its ground attack, I like UNLV.
It has its ground attack.
It has its ground
attack. Why would it not?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the only saving grace for UNLV is it might be in a good spot because San Jose had that big school opponent last week. And history case, if I'm not right, is when you play a big school opponent in one of those payday games, the next week there's always some aches and bruises and some realization that you're not going to go smack another team in the mouth because you just got smacked in the mouth, even though San Jose State put up a relatively good fight against your favorite SEC team.
I think that's totally fair. I mean, you've been good at pointing out the scheduling spots because, like you said, part of your agreement that the cannon was going to be red was
Reno coming back from Buffalo.
Yeah, Reno was Texas A&M and Buffalo back-to-back.
I've totally, like, matured in my handicapping and analysis, and I used to just be, you know, straight gut and emotion and feeling, but I've learned from you, Case. I've felt in some of your
– I'm not sure if anything that you did in Canon Week can necessarily be called mature.
Well, I just used – yeah. Listen to this. not to take the credit away from me, but Case Kiefer, who gives NFL college and NFL picks on LasVegasSun.com, for the season in college, Big Daddy, tell us what you are.
I think
37-19.
Something like that. That might be a little
high. All right, so follow Case on that, but not on his play of the day picks where he is god-awful.
Hey, I hit my last one. It's turning around now. I got the one that I needed.
The lucky Vikings cover.
The lucky? Did you watch the game?
Adrian Peterson broke one loose. They were down by 10 late, right?
That was not late. That was like the end of the third quarter.
Oh, was that? Okay.
What about Ronnie Hillman? If you can say that, you can say Ronnie Hillman got lucky.
I didn't watch the game. Yards. I was – after Taylor and I got back from the armpit, I was going to text you. I was trying to make it home to my house in Henderson. However, there was a triathlon going on, and the road was closed to, get into,
Man.
To get into my development. Oof. And so I literally clapped and cheered for people riding bikes.
Just as you're stuck there. Should we talk a little basketball before we get out of here?
Yeah. Practice, according to the photos, Taylor, looked like the Running Rebels might be trying to RUN this year.
I'm done with that phrase, so I'm just never going to use it again. But that is what Dave has talked about since he got on campus 4 years ago and now in the fifth season. That's what they spent most of the offseason on. It's what they spent a lot of yesterday on. It's the full court press. They're going to pick up and pressure after every possession doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to trap. We're not going to be seeing havoc constantly, but there's going to pressure the ball, and then there's going to be traps sprung out of that depending on the opponent, the situation in the game, you know, the personnel, all that different stuff. But that's going to be part of their identity. I don't think there's any backing away from it at this point. You know, they spent so much time on it. There's going to be it's going to be ugly at times. I mean, the way a press works, you give up a lot of easy baskets, because if they beat it, then you're just, you know, kind of screwed there.
A lot of fouls. My dad, John Brewer, anti-Dave Rice. He called me today. He'd read your story, Tyler. And
is that what he calls me?
Yeah. And he was like, "Well, tell Tyler that in 2 months he'll be writing about a Dave Rice injury and somebody transferring out of the program."
I wouldn't refute that. That's very possible.
So sorry to cut you off, but I thought that was humorous.
Oh no, it is. Yeah. It is. But yeah, so we're gonna have a bunch of time to talk about this team. They have they've basically got 30 practices to use between now and November 13th, which is the season opener against Cal Poly. They have on Halloween the closed practice at USC. So I won't be there. Fans can't be there, but that's going to be, you know, reports tend to leak out of that. So that's something coming up. The downtown event where you're going to see a dunk contest that is must attend for anyone who's even remotely interested in these type of things is October 22nd. So that's coming up in a couple of weeks. But this week I had to submit my Mountain West predictions, and that's coming out in the Sunday this weekend. And I had San Diego State 1, Boise State 2, UNLV 3, and Utah State 4. Anything kind of jump out at you guys from that? Agree, disagree?
I don't keep up with basketball that well. It always sneaks up so much on me. So I don't have – like, I would not argue with you. I would cede to you on this. But I was surprised that New Mexico is all the way at 7.
Most people have them higher. Did I have them 7th or 8th?
I'm pretty sure.
I might have had them 8th.
Whatever you had them, I was like, wow, I would – from my limited knowledge at this point of the season, I think I would have had
him. No, I did have him 7th. You're right, because then I went Fresno State 5, Wyoming 6, New Mexico 7. Oh, a lot of people have New Mexico higher. That's mostly a coaching thing, and I'm not sure that Cullen Neal works all that well with others.
I agree on number 11.
Well, that's the easiest. That's the easiest one in the bunch. San Jose State's going to finish last.
I'm gonna. I don't want to sound crazy, but I don't.
Oh, hey, it's a day to be crazy, Ray.
No, I'm just saying that I don't dispute San Diego State as one, but the Boise thing, when I initially opened the email, I was like, maybe this is Taylor. Listen, I think the Rebels – I'll be honest with you guys. I think the game at – I think the finale is at SDSU, correct?
Yeah.
I think
that sounds right. I don't have the schedule right in front of
me. I think that game is for the league championship. You heard it here first. You'll thank me later.
I wouldn't even necessarily dispute that, but I think you got to look at the past few years and what Boise has done, and they have pieces back.
Don't,
how could you be dismissive
of Nick Duncan? Donuts shooting from three. They got James Webb, Anthony Drimmick back
without their best player, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that count for something?
I know, but I think often when we do these little preseason-y things, we tend to look at history and tradition, and I'm as guilty as charging that too. But I just think talent, 1-12.
Okay, you stop it.
This is a repeat
stop
of
it
last year.
Right now.
I'm not allowed to
knock
talk?
It off.
You text me to ask me to come down here.
What did I tell you in the – we have an entire podcast titled Stop Talking About Talent.
The same podcast.
Don't say talent.
Last year.
I was going to go look back at this before I submitted my picks. I need to do it now. I'm pretty sure that UNLV has finished lower than I have picked them every time.
Here's the deal.
And it's because people keep giving them the benefit of the doubt on talent.
Here's the deal.
I'm not done yet. I've seen some other writers' preseason polls that have UNLV 6, and I wouldn't argue it because based on history.
6 is dumb if they're below Fresno.
So people said Grammer picking them 6th last year was dumb, and they finished 7th.
Well, Grammer's a genius. Here's the deal. UNLV in past CDR seasons has had a lot of talented players. I use the word. However, the talented players were Team A, Team B, Team C, Team – it was like the Rebels, Hey Reb, Scarlet and Gray. It was like 5 different teams out there, right? This year, they have talent, but it's all together as one team. Like, Dave did a good job of getting – just listen. Look, he did a good job of getting players. Now he's got a team.
Look, it could work out that way, but what you just said is exactly the same thing that you've said the past 3 years.
Well, I was wrong. I'm allowed to be wrong, right?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, how can you not view history and say, okay, until – honestly, I thought about having them lower and just saying, prove it. Like, let's see it. Enough talking about what they can be. Let's see it, and then I'll believe.
Sweet 16, baby. When you're at Sweet 16 this year, text me and tell me you're right. That's all I want.
So March,
before tip-off on Twitter, say, I'm covering at Sweet 16. Shout out to my man, at Ray Brewer, for his preseason prediction.
Hey, that was the same thing the last 3 years and was incorrect. So if you pick the Sweet 16 every year from now to eternity, you're probably going to be right one of these times.
I didn't say Sweet 16 last year.
I bet you did.
Bennett's here, I said Sweet 16.
Oh, okay. I just thought I
last year I didn't say
Sweet
16.
2 years ago you said Sweet 16 also.
Bennett's year.
That was 3 years ago. 2 years ago you said Sweet 16.
Post-Bennett I said Sweet 16?
Oh, yeah.
I'm almost sure.
I know last year I didn't, because I was – now tell me this: who was anti in all of Vegas? Everybody's like Cody Doolin. Oh my God,
you were anti
Kevin Kruger, and I'm like, are you positive? Are we seeing the same thing?
You were right about that, but also
I was right.
Listen, you were wrong about we had the same podcast last year, and Taylor and I were like, man, it doesn't look that great. Like, metric wise, UNLV is probably not going to make the tournament right now. You just said they're out of the tournament, and you just had a condition.
I was right. You're right.
They're not going to make the tournament. Why are we?
I was right. You're right. I was right about that. Look, told me they weren't going to make the tournament, and I said that was absolutely wrong. And you know what? Turns out I was blind.
Three freshmen and four transfers who haven't played an official game for UNLV are going to be relied on heavily. Probably at least five of those.
Say the name of the kid from Mercer.
Ike Nwamu.
So one more time.
Ike Nwamu.
Okay, well, Ike Nwamu is going to be...
Moo.
Ike Nwamu is going to be the difference maker. He's going to put up a lot of points. He's a great shooter. He's pretty athletic, in my humble opinion.
No, there's get pretty out of there. He's freak athletic.
He's freaky athletic, right?
What is
right? Yes. Championship, baby. Get the scissors out. They're cutting the nets down.
All right, so March 5th is at Viejas is going to be for the title. I'm going to cover the Sweet 16 and shout out some person
on Twitter
at Ray Brewer. That's going to be a rando.
Ray Brewer 21. Yes.
But you told me to shout out at Ray Brewer.
Whoever Ray Brewer is.
Some stranger in March is going to get a message from me, apparently, because I will be at the Sweet 16 covering UNLV.
Yep. And then, listen, all the criticism to UNLV basketball is warranted and fair. They've underachieved the last 2 years, 3 years. The only year they were good was Coach DR's first year. This is a new season.
I was really curious where you were going with that.
Like I said with UNLV football, it's easy to look at the Rebels past results case and say it's a 2-1 program, that the Reno's won the Cannon in 9 out of 10 years. But I told you, the travel and the coach are not going to help them. And Polian didn't do himself any favors at the beginning of the second half when he did what?
The beginning of the second half?
The dumbest play I've seen in person.
Oh,
and I saw some Bobby Howe.
Are you talking the onside? Miracles.
Why onside kick when you know the quarterback for UNLV can't throw the ball from me to Taylor and we're 3 feet apart? They onside kicked and gave UNLV field position around midfield, and the second half was just dinking and dunking punts and field position when they could have pinned UNLV back and gotten the ball around midfield themselves. He screwed himself because he's not thinking straight, and I told everybody that from day one. And people, even last week on radio, the other guy that does the show was like, oh, but to Sanchez, here's the instances where he's been a bad coach, and he's listed them all off. And I don't say anything, but – let it be known that Ray Brewer says the Rebels are going to win the Mountain West in basketball and that they have a chance to go to the Sweet 16. On record today, 12-16, Tuesday, October 6th.
I'm going to drop that mic for you here, Ray.
Yeah.
And we're going to get out of here. For Case, for Ray, I am Taylor. We'll talk to you guys next week.